So we are continuing our series in the Holy Spirit, the mysterious person of the Holy Spirit, and we have a song to kick that off for you. So here we go. Oh, there we go.
So it's a bit gloomy today, with the dark clouds oppressively blanketing the morning sky, obscuring the light and covering our quaint little town of Conroe, Texas, with an ominous veil of darkness and a dim, hazy, chaotic shroud of mystery. One might even say it's a dark Sunday or even a Black Sabbath. My name is Joel Looney. I'm one of the teaching pastors here, and I am, for the record, Iron Man. In case I didn't make it clear with my clearly obfuscating language, Iron Man is a song written by the British rockers Black Sabbath, taken from their studio album Paranoid, which was released in what year? Did you say 97? Oh, 1970, yes, that's correct. I was going to question what maybe our friend in the back had in his coffee today. 1970. So, released as a single in 71, reached number 52 in America, but in the UK, made no impact whatsoever. You know, no respect for the prophet in their homeland, I guess. Anyway, most of us think of Iron Man, we think about Tony Stark, the Marvel superhero, right? We have any Marvel fans in the audience today? So, Iron Man's a little different than a lot of the other superheroes, right? And one of the things that makes him different is that his power comes not from sort of, you know, radioactive spider bite or genetic mutation, but, you know, instead from, to a certain extent, his creativity and his vision. So in addition to being a brilliant entrepreneur and businessman, Tony Stark is a scientist and he's an inventor. He created a metal suit, which is a technological and mechanical miracle as opposed to something we would generally deem to be supernatural. The power of Iron Man comes from the fact that Tony can see reality not just as it is, but as it could be. And certainly that's what it means to be a scientist, but also an artist, a craftsman, and even a leader. And while often we don't usually think about leadership as being an act of creation, Proverbs 25 describes leadership kind of like a divine scavenger hunt, where God has hidden some things deep in the earth that we're supposed to dig out and refine and make into something. This is out of the Message. Proverbs 25 says, God delights in concealing things. He's kind of devious that way, it seems. Scientists delight in discovering things, like the horizons for breadth and the ocean for depth. The understanding of a good leader is broad and deep. Remove impurities from the silver, and the silversmith can craft a fine chalice. So this really is an inspired metaphor, kind of going into the deep, dark cave and working hard to locate the precious metals covered in dirt and dust, digging them out, putting the iron or, you know, precious metals, silver in this case, through this intense refining process, and then carefully shaping, forming, and molding the raw metal into something beautiful. And really, that's what creativity is all about. And so the image of going into the deep to bring something beautiful out of the mess is strikingly similar to the image that we looked at of the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters last week. In Genesis 1, again, beginning of the Bible, first couple of verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so this mysterious Holy Spirit, hovering over the waters of chaos and darkness, defined himself with that initial act, right? And so creativity is this collision, this is this divine collision of chaos and darkness with order and light. And so last week we said to meet the mysterious person of the Holy Spirit is to be called into a creative process which brings order to chaos and light to darkness. And for many of us, I think in our own lives, we can relate to the feeling of kind of being buried under a pile of rocks, or at the bottom of a lake somewhere. You know, I think, emotionally or philosophically, we're there sometimes. And many, if not most of us, actually came to God in that place of darkness and chaos. And that's really where the Spirit often meets us. And so this creative process begins with the Holy Spirit hovering over the chaos in our own lives to bring that order and new life into existence. But that also manifests in bringing out the creativity in and through each of us, because as we see just a little further down in Genesis 1, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, right? Our being the Trinity there, the original community together of the Godhead, saying, hey, let's make man like us, like God. And so in that sense, we believe that all three persons of God clearly can be termed the maker of the world, right? They were all involved in creation. Yet the closeness of the Holy Spirit in the creation process as he hovered over the water gives us a peek into the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And then from there, the glimpse of the beginning shows us that God is about creation. And since we are made in his image, that means that we are creators too. The creative process is something that we do because we're like God. So to meet the mysterious person of the Holy Spirit is to be inspired to reflect the image of God through our own work of creation. So as humans made in the image of God, we are innate creators, meaning it's just a part of who we are, that there's no place that we go in the world that we don't leave our mark in some ways. Hopefully for the better, though, you know, sometimes not. But that's the mark of human culture. So craft and creativity, they're impossible to separate from the human experience as worship and friendship. That whatever our calling is, it's impossible for us not to make in our own way, right? Not to make things, not to make meaning, not to call things up like the Spirit from that unformed place below the face of the deep. Whether it's from our foods, our ways of being, our arts and crafts, our memories, our songs, the pictures and tools and everything else we create comes the boundaries, the light or values of life, the sustenance, the beauty of life. This is what we do, just as the Spirit hovering over the face of the deep to bring the order and the light. So too, in everything we do, we participate in that act of creation. So it's easy sometimes to get caught up, though, in the making, right, in the daily life, that we often don't think about the meaning of our making or what it really means to be creative persons made in the image of God. And so the Spirit of God creates not just through his own words, but through us and through our human hands, right? And we're directed by the mind and the imagination of a creator, and he's put that same creative spirit within us. So I'd like to invite Raymond McDonald, our senior pastor, up to bring us into this idea of creativity.
Got this one here. Can you get me up there? Is that good? That way they don't have to share with me today. I'm trying to be nice because my voice is a little funny to not go. I like the opening line of that song, Has He Lost His Mind and all that stuff. I asked them not to play those words because y'all thought that was about me. And that song is about dope because it was written in the 70s, but it really wasn't. But that's what we all were taught. If you play it backwards, it really is a weird song. I don't know what it means, but it's just some space age tin man is basically what that's all about. Well, actually, as we look at this whole idea, I love it that he brings in Tony Stark and these kind of things. As we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and talking about the Holy Spirit's doing and moving, and we certainly have this whole idea of creativity, as Joel has just brought. Here, there you go. See that? See that? Don't you like that, making that noise? Good. I told him I don't wear that for that reason. But anyhow, In the book of Exodus, if you move just a little bit further down, there's a story of a man named Bezalel. Is this going to work, baby doll? All right. He, by the way, Hawk has changed his name. Baby doll, all right. Doesn't have quite the same emphasis on the black belt the career that you have. But anyhow, in the book of Exodus, if you move down, there's a guy named Bezalel that's there, which means in the shadow of God, which Brian has said now, the name Brian means the shadow of God. So Bezalel must be in your shadow. But he's filled, he's inspired by the Spirit of God. If you got your Bibles, you want to turn over here where we're going to look at is Exodus 35. And as we look at that there, verse 30, you're going to see something about this guy, because this guy's kind of an Iron Man because he likes to work with metals, if you get the idea that's there. And I think of this guy often when I've met a lot of my friends here in this church. And in particular, I'm going to take a guy like Robert Kraft. I don't know if Robert's in here right now. Is Robert Kraft in here? There he is right there. This is a guy that can make anything out of anything. And I lived with him for a while. And this, when I think of Bezalel, I often think of Robert, who just... You know, he starts thinking of a valve or something, and he's designing it. This ain't working, is it? Didn't think it would. I'll have to get a mic. Somebody give me one. That'd be good. Or this one over here. Yeah. No worky. Ever since that Tom character wore it, he tore it up. It's a joke. I just blame it on him. You can kill this other one if you don't mind. Chicken check. There we go. All right. It's got a lot of CKs in it. Anyhow, think of this guy, Bezalel. It says that Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God." Now, first of all, when you see that, that's exciting. Old Testament, we often see people filled, or the Spirit come upon them for the purpose of a distinct action. But this guy is being filled with the Spirit of God, and this is awesome the way they write it, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. I love that there, because all you women who are pulling that little suitcase behind you that you're doing that, what's that called that y'all do? Crafts or something, I don't know. You know what it is. Y'all just don't want to say it. But, it's got the Spirit on it, scrapbooking. There you go. And he has been given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. I'll just stop there. It does go on to say they're filled with skill to do all kinds of other works that would include the things that were necessary for them. And what was it necessary for them? They, as the Spirit of God, came upon him and upon the other was for the purpose of building the tent of meeting. Now, they had left Egypt. They were in travel. They needed to meet with God and worship God. There was no temple, obviously, and if there was, it would have been hard to pull it on wheels, especially out in the desert. So they have a tent that they pitch, and there they will meet. And in this tent, he is to build all the utensils, everything that goes in there, including even the vestments for the priests that are there. This guy had to do it all. He wasn't just a worker of metals. He was a guy who was very good at all these things. And he had the skills to get it done. He was intelligent, innate gifting. You can't teach it or buy it. I'm not saying you can't learn something in school. Kevin Cornelius, the same way. You can go to school and learn things, but like Robert and Kevin, these guys just can take anything and make it. I'm telling you, if you want it done free, go see those guys. Let's just... Yeah, you don't know those skills they have, because in a church you always hide it when you have those kind of skills. But that mechanic work, so that's fantastic. But this guy here, we don't know whether he's young or we don't know whether he's old. It says nothing about his background. What we're told is that he was a creator without peer in Israel, and a maker of unusual expertise. This guy could create anything. Now, as he was building in this place of meeting, the tent of meeting, understand what the tent of meeting was trying to do. It was trying to demonstrate heaven here on earth. You get that there? They put a blue coloring on the top so it would look like the sky. When you walked in, it was supposed to represent what the kingdom of God was as you came and worshiped God. To take what were shadows of the things that were to come, if you were, and bring them here on earth. They would have had all kinds of wonderful things in there, as most of you would know. And it was a place where God came to dwell with his children. It's when God would come, and when Moses came in especially, he would fill the tent of meeting, and just is this beautiful. Now, as I look at this thing, I want you to understand that even though it's earthly, I mean, even though it's heavenly, it's earthly, and since it has imperfections, it's not just like what's there. Let's say the coffee table that will be there. There's not going to be a coffee table in heaven, but it's still demonstrating the craftsmanship of what God is doing when you create these things. We see the same thing in us that's going on. What really touches me about this Bezalel character is his calling seems to be very secular. He got these things. Oh, you're wise. You're gifted. You can make metal. Yeah, but can you preach, brother? You know? Can you preach? No, I just make metal. I'm really not a good man. But what happens, he's taking what is secular, what we would deem secular, and making it into the sacred. He takes what we've deemed secular, and he applies it into the sacred spaces of life. And this becomes very important as we look at these kind of things, because even if they are the shadow of the things to come, they are the things that are going to come. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They're making things that demonstrate the kingdom of God to others, just like a preacher would, just like a teacher would, or anyone else. And artisans and craftsmen and workers, we have to recapture this whole idea of the sense that what we do is loaded with the Holy Spirit of what's going on and the creation that's there. This here is what Brother Paul Pastor would say in his book, Face the Deep. From the prominence that the writer of Exodus gives us, Bezalel apparently less than miraculous qualities, skill, intelligence, knowledge, and craftsmanship, it's easy to infer that the Spirit didn't miraculously grant what the man needed to fulfill in his calling. Rather, the Spirit met things present already and used them to extend his call of love via the hand of the Creator through the culture and into the world. Meaning Bezalel did not just one day walk around saying, well, what I do, I just sit around here and skateboard and smoke pot, and then one day he was a great craftsman. For some of you who are wishing that, Chris, that's not going to happen. Meaning, in his life, he went after these things. It was a part of him. He knew it when he was young. He knew young a calling on his life. He knew something was going. He pursued these things. Yes, I believe God was in all that. But the point is, one day, it wasn't this adoptionism thing where all of a sudden, you're a welder. Oh, good, here I go. There was something that was always working there. Something that was going on, but God met that. And Robert, we often talked about that when you were working at the other company you were at and there was no creativity in what you did. I'd often say, the Lord has given you something and it's purposeful. And what happens when we meet that purpose? What happens when we begin to do those things? We begin to sense the Holy Spirit coming alive in those things. He's using the secular gift to build a sacred space, and I would say the creative nature of the Holy Spirit inspires us. I want you to capture this. To use our secular gifts to create sacred space. Now, those words may be funny to you, but I want you to understand a sacred space is a place that we sense God's presence and he's coming into. Oh, thank you. And so when we say that, I don't believe that the only sacred space is a church. I think your home can be that, or maybe under a tree where you're just sitting and reading a book and sensing God. But the point is, he's coming and saying, I'm using what I have, no matter how menial it may be, to bring about the things that God has for us. And I would say that all of our gifts that we have been given are secular unless they're infused with the Spirit. So as a musician, I believed, always believed, that the Holy Spirit was on me as I was creating music. I knew that I didn't just create these things out of thin air. But I also knew when the Holy Spirit came that what was coming out of the music began to be healing and a blessing and moving people into a place of life that brought them into the presence of the King, if that's what I mean. Even if they didn't receive Jesus, they received something. I remember playing a large hall in Switzerland where you were not allowed to say the word God or they would stop the show. And playing songs and singing about God in English, and people just weeping because they sense the presence of something that was there. Do I believe that every song that is written has to say Jesus in it? No.
I think we can write songs that describe our world. But I think when we begin to build things that tear down the world, that's another thing that would be there. Paul writes this about living life out with the gifts that are in Ephesians here. And most of us, this is where we go. He says, you were called to travel. I'm going to read from the Message, Ephesians 4:4. You were called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly, speaking to the church that's there. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. He works through all and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. And he moves on in his paraphrase to verse 7 and says, but that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. For the text for this is, he climbed the high mountain. By the way, he's quoting from Psalm 68. He captured the enemy and seized the booty. By the way, that means treasure. He handed it out and gives to the people. Is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth, and the one who climbed down to the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven? And here's the key. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. Now, when we think of him giving gifts, what we've often done is we see these gifts as church gifts. He gave us gifts. What's your gift, brother? Well, I'm gifted in teaching. Are you with me? I've got tongues. I prophesy. None of us ever would think that the gifts that we might have might be carpentry, might be metalwork, might be mechanic work, might be guitar, might be yard work. In stating this, I'm saying we often sacralize the meaning of these gifts, meaning make them sacred in such a way that we pass over the beauty of the context of God working in the gifts he's given us. That what you do isn't just to make money for some of you. Some of you, I'll say, what you do is just to make money, and I'll leave that for later. Again, I got some folks following me here. But when we work just for money and the creative part of us is not part of that process, I'll tell you what happened to me. I began to die inside. I said I begin to die inside. No matter how sacred it was. For me, as a worship leader for years, I just did the worship that most of you probably would probably like. That was off KSBJ. And I became so depressed. And one day, the Lord just spoke to me and said, I never asked you to quit creating. I never asked you to quit writing. I never asked you to stop. And I say that because someone else does worship and does all those songs, and it's a great thing because that's their call. I also wasn't called to ride around on a cruise ship and play ZZ Top. So I realized that there are different things, which means I won't see the world on a boat. But understanding that I have a creative gift, and you do too, and they're different, and realizing that one may be on the church stage, one may be over here on this stage, one may be over here in this backyard, and one may be over here in the front yard. The Holy Spirit is moving today in us in those gifts that's there. He would go on and say, he handed them out to the apostle, prophet, and evangelist, and pastor, and teacher, going through the fivefold ministries, it carries on. But those, I do not believe, were an exhaustive list of what Paul was trying to put forth. He was trying to demonstrate how those very great gifts built up the church, demonstrating that all the gifts we have are powerful for building up the kingdom as we know it. So I'd like this time to call up the most wonderful in the shadow of God, Fox, the shadow of God.
I want to continue with this idea that of what the Spirit is doing in us, drawing out of us, creating through us. And so I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay? Key section there. Something that's going to happen in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. And a lot of times we've gone, again, to that last phrase as the emphasis, the redemption of our bodies. When we die, we get it all, and all, you know, all things are made right, and it's all good. Guys, if it doesn't happen before that day, we've missed out on so much biblical teaching. Again, Jesus' favorite subject was not when you die, you go to heaven. His favorite subject was the kingdom of God and what God wants to do here and now to change and bring about His kingdom today in Conroe. All right? So, the whole Romans chapter 8 is about this hope. It's about the work of the Spirit in us, how we used to live by the flesh. Now we live by the Spirit and all the things that that produces in us. He uses the phrase new creation. The Apostle Paul's encouraging his readers to see the role of what God has planned for all creation, and what that role is the return to the good that God spoke of at original creation. We've looked at the text last week. Joel reminded us of it this week. When God finished creation, He said, "And it is good." And He wants the kingdom to be revealed, calling us as His creation, but all of creation, the world, the animals, the plants and water, everything that He created is good. He wants to see that come back to its original creation. All this work of creating and making, I believe, this is a quote by Paul, pastor in the book we're working with, is a sacred work. It's the Spirit's original sacred work continuing in and through us. From the face of the deep, the Spirit called all things in love. But the brokenness of sin, the self-love, the broken faith took that which was deemed by God Himself to be very good, and it bent it, it tainted it. He goes so far as to say, we marred the world. We've done it in every generation that man has existed on earth. Look around. We mar, destroy, distort our own image, made to be in the image of God, and yet so far less, so much less than what God intended for us. We mar the land. We mar relationships. We scar our parents and our children, our brothers and our sisters. And I know this, as I was reading through this and writing these notes, I'm thinking, Raymond often mentions, I have to bring the rope before I bring the hope. I hope Carol's got something good to follow with, because right now it all sounds pretty much like rope. But we mar those things that are different than we are, those people that are different than we are. We're wounders, perverse and contrary, selfish, petty, and cruel, and we forget that the wonder of creation was the goodness of the Spirit's words created in love. Anything we see around us that does not flow out of love is not what God intended in the original creation. We forget the life over the water. This is Paul, pastor, again, referring back to creation. But we who mar, here comes the hope, can, by the Spirit, remake. God invites us into this place where we get to be a part, not just watch what He's going to do, again, at the end of time, but we get to be a part of what He's doing right now. There is no area of human endeavor, from leading nations to sweeping streets, that cannot be inspired as an act of dissent against the marring of the world we live in. While some, like Bezalel, might receive a special dose of inspiration, we all have been made in the image of the great maker or the great creator. So what is this great work of God for humanity? It's joining that spirit who not only made, but now reacts against this marring of his good creation. The work of our lives is reimagining and recreating the world with God. It's not something we'll do on our own. It's not, again, though God has gifted us, and many people are creative who don't know God. The recreative act of seeing the world reborn and seeing the world made into the likeness of what God intends it to be won't happen without God. There might be some really nice paintings. There may be a sculptor that creates in such a way that, again, fills us in such a way that brings us to tears or something. But the creation or the recreation of the world as God intends it won't happen without Him. But we get to be a part of it. He invites us as His children to be a part of it. In very simplified terms, everywhere we go and everything we do should be making the world a better place. Every act we perform, every person we encounter is better because of our involvement. Again, Paul Pastor writes this, no matter what our specific calling, no matter what our degree of skill or vocation or occupation, what knowledge we've attained or what intelligence we're born with, what craftsmanship we exercise, we are made to make. Now, whatever our position, our role, the challenges, the resources, the lack of any of these things, we're called by the Spirit of God, full of love and power, to recreate the world. So the creative nature of the Holy Spirit inspires us to participate in recreating the world. You know, our creative work inspired by the Spirit is not only the visible, glorious, or obvious things. Kind of like as Raymond talked about, those things that we would say are sacred. Those things that are obvious to the work because it either happens in a church or it happens on behalf of a church. Sometimes it's the unexpected things. The things that we might not even think of as being so great, but they're making the world a better place. Maybe it's an unexpected spiritual discipline, which for some of us is not just a quiet place in our prayer closet, but maybe my spiritual discipline set in motion is the acts of service that I choose to do. Maybe the discipline working in me is not only to stand on the stage at Kids Fest and be the MC, which I got to do, but as the day starts drawing to an end and I see the volunteers going around with their trash bags cleaning up, I join with them to clean up. And I'll guarantee you most of them will remember me, not because I stood on the stage, but because I walked beside them and picked up trash. Everywhere we go. Maybe it's in child rearing, which doesn't seem like a very glamorous thing, in which some of us have chosen to complete our task and not do it anymore and not want to go serve in the nursery or anything else. Maybe it's in volunteering to serve someone else with no conditions or expectations just because it makes that person's life better, easier, or more hopeful. Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:10. God has made us what we are. I need you to see yourself in that. God has made you what you are. He doesn't say this in Ephesians, but I want to speak to your pastor and say, and that's enough. It's enough. It's enough to be who God made you. But in Christ, God also made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. He's created us to join Him in recreating a world that's better. And the Spirit's work, again, in the original creation, but also in this process of recreation, is to inspire us, to move us along. And I just believe He's doing that so much more than we realize. Let me invite up Carol Darden to wrap this up for us.
Shouldn't we follow the Spirit, choosing humility and service, and using our gifts for the worship of God, the service of His people, and the wider good of our peoples and places? But are we powerful in our work, like Bezalel was in the world's eyes? Are we full of skill and good gifts and the qualities that people notice? Or do we lack an education? Do we have an unusual career or job? Is our labor unmeaningful or even undignified or not even well compensated in the world's eyes? The truth is, the Spirit, the maker of makers, sees our talents and has gifted us uniquely to help Him change the world, even if that change is invisible right now. Paul addressed this in his instructions to the Colossians. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. We are inspired to create no matter our situation. It is the kingdom that we are changing. What if you're not employed? The Spirit inspires us so that we should work for the good without a paycheck, knowing that the Spirit sees contribution, not compensation, as the mark of a craftsperson in the likeness of God. He sees that contribution more than a paycheck. So whatever our position, we are called by the Spirit of God to recreate the world. The creative nature of the Holy Spirit inspires us to do something. Do something. A while ago, several years, I felt a very, very strong call to help pregnant girls in crisis. I thought I would be mentoring or teaching these girls about motherhood. Because I know that. Because I know motherhood, and I can tell you what to do about that. Just ask me. I checked out several possibilities, but nothing seemed to be what God was calling me to do. Nothing fit. Then, about a full year later, I was searching and searching, and nothing was fitting. Then, through a series of coincidental events, I found myself using my skill of computer data entry to record monthly donations that were being made to a maternity house in Kenya. I was using a skill that I had to provide a service that they desperately needed. When I told them that I knew how to do data entry, that it was easy for me, it was something that I could do, they stood there and cried. They said that they had prayed the very night before, exactly where we were standing, asking for that very person to come. It was very humbling. It wasn't how I thought I would help, but it was what God knew that ministry needed. So no matter what our thoughts are, what our strengths are, God will call other things out of us. He will use what we thought was secular, what we thought was useless. How would I think that 20 years ago, being a supervisor of a data entry group would benefit pregnant girls in crisis in Kenya? God knows. God knows. In Ecclesiastes, it says, whatever your hands find to do, do that with all your might. The Spirit who inspired the hand of Bezalel is not a footnote in the Old Testament. The Spirit who empowered him empowers us for making, for beauty, for creativity, for craft, for stewardship, for production, for faithful use of our gifts in service to God, in service to the people of God, and in service to the entire world. We are made to make. Raymond?
Well, 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 well. Well, we're all called to reimagine the world as we walk in this way that's there. We're invited to join the Spirit in recreating the world. Guys, if that's one brick at a time, if it's one mill at a time, one novel at a time, one child at a time, no child left behind at a time. But when we think of this here, we think of the scripture that says, how beautiful are the feet that bring good news. And we often think of that verse. It comes from, it's an Isaianic prophecy. It's talking about, when Paul uses it, about preaching. But even in the prophecy in Psalms, it is certainly talking about the one that brings the good news of the kingdom of God, the one who brings what is beautiful, that which lightens it. And for each of you, I say, blessed are the feet that are bringing the good news that are here today. How beautiful might we say here today are those who are building cities, maybe your own city council, maybe you're doing something of that nature. How beautiful is the raising and teaching of children, the beautiful bridge builders, the carpenters, the plumbers, the cooks. Maybe you're an engineer here. I don't know. How beautiful is it is to raise sheep and cattle and farmers and doctors. We got some doctors here. Maybe you're a nurse. I know you are, Karen. And so, I mean, the issue is these aren't just secular jobs. Maybe you're an arborist, a toll booth collector. Maybe you paint. Maybe you work. You're a carpenter. A roadside vendor. You sell roses out there. Maybe you deliver newspapers. Not a good job to have these days, but whatever. Fashion designer, whatever it may be. Dance instructor, dancer. All of these things are created and bring the creativity of the Holy Spirit in us, it's there. So as we come today, and each of us know that beautiful verse there of our feet, how beautiful are those feet, I want to take the time this morning to talk about or to give you the opportunity to come and let us pray with you and say, come, Holy Spirit. You say, for what? Well, one is this. You've lost the creativity. You've placed it and put it away. And you've said, I'm done. Can't make money doing that. I'm done. By the way, I'm not telling you to quit your day job. Make your furniture after you get off work, unless you're retired, of course. And so the issue is, I want to ask you to continue to think about that. I want to pray for the entrepreneurs in this room, that God would bring you vision for businesses that you might start, and that he would bring you favor. I want to pray for those who have that certain call in their life that they've not picked up. It may not look like an artisanship. Again, it may be something that's of counseling. It may be something of that nature. I want to say, come, Holy Spirit, begin to create within us and bring alive that's there. Again, we often relegate the Holy Spirit to a sacred space. Oh, he was at church today, but when I went home, he was gone. No. We, like Bezalel, have walked into a place that represents the kingdom of God, but we, like the people of Israel, walk out of that tent of meeting and bring the kingdom of God to others through the creation and gifts that he's given us. Would you stand with me now? I say, come, Holy Spirit. I ask that you would just come and begin to move within each of us. You are the creator. Would you hover over each one of us, giving us that wonderful part of your personhood of creation? We pray against self-consciousness or embarrassment, the things that come and make us think, why would I think so big of myself? Give it to God. Let God be the one who calls the great things out of you. And when if he does something great, then we just be vulnerable to receive that, sir. I ask that you come. And even as the Spirit is here now, some of you are very, very creative. And yet you've never attributed it all to God. You've never even heard that what you do could be a thing God was doing. Maybe you don't even know his son, Jesus Christ, who's come in pursuit of you to call you back, to bring you into the reconciliation with the Father and the Father's love so that you would know that you are in the family business and you're not an independent operator. And I want to give you the opportunity today to come and make your peace with God in the sense, make your commitment to Christ Jesus. Some of you, your creativity has left you because of the pain in your bodies or the financial disaster of your life, what it may be. Lord wants to come and bring healing to your life in order to bring you back again to that one whom the Spirit is hovering over, calling out the creative there. And some of you, it's just absolutely, you were bursting with a sense of call, if not joy, the moment we start speaking about this. And I think this is a special time when the Spirit wants to move. So as I pray over you, I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward. I'm going to invite you to come down and meet with them. And as you come down, they're just going to pray with you. And you can come down and get prayer right now, too. If you're not on the prayer team, you may come down at this time, too. So come, Holy Spirit. I thank you. I thank you that you've given us life and sustenance. And I thank you for the jobs we have. Some of us have jobs that we don't see any creativity in. I'm asking you to come, Lord, what we have put our hands to, that we would give it to you and work unto man as we work unto you and see what you do in our lives, that we're faithful. But come now and generate inside the creative sense in each of us. Let those who write songs write songs, write poetry, write books. Let those who are doctors and counselors and nurses do what you do. Be on fire for those things. For the creators, the metal workers, carpenters, all of us, come, Holy Spirit. And I bless you now in the name of the Father who loves you. Bless you in the name of the Son who has come to retrieve you and bring you back into the loving arms of the eternal Godhead. And I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit who's here moving on you now in power. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us have a time with you. God bless you. Thank you for coming.